You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're building up to plenty of action on Wednesday afternoon. We're at Catterick, Epsom and Perth in the afternoon with evening cards at Lingfield, Taunton and Fairy House. You'll hear every card covered live and in full with Gary Capel, John Babb and Andrew Mount in the studio from 1:40pm. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, on day two of his stint in the studio is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
I'm not too bad at all, Sam. Had a good day on air yesterday with Lord Budden.
Yes.
We tipped several winners. He had a couple of forecasts as well, as he tends to do.
He does like a forecast,
he does.
Doesn't he?
And the he throws in the odd tricast as well. Yeah, he doesn't mess around. He's a good operator. And it was good fun, and I'm looking forward to today.
Yeah, good stuff. And very often when you come up to the north of England, Kev, you're constantly whinging about the weather, but it's rather sunny outside.
The sun comes to Leeds every now and again. And it's one of those days, so yeah, it's nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely, which of course means the ground's drying up, which will be nice because the start of this flat season, I mean, we don't really want to see flat horses sort of cutting through the mud, do we?
No, it's nice to see a bit of some decent ground. You know, even for the spring jumpers with the Whitbread Gold Cup coming up at this weekend at Sandown, we want to see decent ground for all horses at this time of year, so it's nice to see the sunshine coming out.
Yeah, certainly. So we're all looking forward to as well, Kev, to the culmination of the National Hunt Trainers title, which isn't normally something we particularly talk about because it's normally been settled months ago. And this one, to be fair, looked as though it might be. I think William Mullins was 1-10 to take the title before racing on Scottish Grand National Day, but a four-timer for Paul Nicholls has put him back in the driving seat, and it's 5-6 each of two at the moment, Kev. Is that a fair reflection?
I think Nicholls could probably be a little bit shorter. It's going to be hard for both of them to get winners on Saturday. Undersaw, if he goes, he's got Sprinter Sacra to beat. It's a big task.
Yeah.
They both have runners in the big race. The Bet365 Gold Cup, but I mean it's a really tough race to win. It's not the races between them. I personally quite like Paint the Clouds. He finished third in the race last year the ground went quite badly against him, Paint the Clouds, but he ran another cracker at Cheltenham last time out, and if the ground does keep drying out, I think Paint the Clouds is probably the horse to beat.
Yeah, and I mean William Mullins certainly not taking it lightly, just by the fact that even in another season, we might have seen him send runners to Sandown, but he's got entries in Taunton Novice Hurdles. He's got entries at Warwick. He really wants to take this back to Ireland.
Look, if there's one thing that Mullins is, he's a competitive man. He might seem unassuming and quiet, but he's a competitive man. And you know these men are proud and they want to win these things. Paul Nicholls is one of the proudest men you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
You know, he loves being champion trainer. He'll tell you that every day of the week. It's interesting. I think Nicholls will just shade it, though. I think he'll keep it. But it's a really exciting narrative to have going into Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Really looking forward to it. Something else I'm really looking forward to, Kev, is the Punchestown Festival as well, which is for a lot of people sort of the end of the jump season proper before we get into sort of summer jumping. And at the time of recording, we're still on course to see a King George rerun, if you like, involving Don Cossack, Q Card and Vator, all who have won races since then, but all who have had a fall since then. I mean, I know Don Cossack fell in the King George itself, but Vator's come down, Q Card came down in the Gold Cup. Are we going to get to see all three of these horses stand up and take each other on finally?
Wouldn't it be cool? I mean, Vator is in the Boyle Sports Champion Chase as well, but we'd like to see him run in that 3 mile race, wouldn't we? To be fair, but going right handed, he's much better going left handed, isn't he? Seemingly, Vator is a more potent force going right handed, but just to have him there in that race would be fantastic. Don Cossack on his own patch, you know, he was so good around here last year. Loves Punchestown. How will Q Card act around Punchestown? It looked as though he might have got the better of him in the Gold Cup, but we'll never really know. So, yeah, a really exciting race. I mean, with a gun to my head, I might just have to go with Q Card, but
Really?
Yeah.
Coming into Don Cossack's playground.
Yeah.
And he has had a hard season for a 10-year-old. He doesn't look 10, the way he's taking his racing this season.
Coulthard has never been better. Mm. Whatever operations they've done to him, he really turned the corner this season, and he's been fantastic, bar that fall in the Gold Cup, which was really unfortunate because himself and Don Cossack were about to serve up a real spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a magnificent training performance from Colin Tizard. It looks at this point almost a no bet race, Kev. It just looks like one of those where I just want to sit and watch and soak it all in.
I mean, you're going to have probably the likes of Vals Felido, Road to Riches might run in it as well, Carlin Foodlock. So it'll be, you know, some horses there in amongst it to make it a quality affair and keep the rest of them honest. But in all likelihood, it's between Coulthard and Don Cossack, possibly Vautour, but I'm not sure he'll run yet, but we'll see.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Anything else caught your eye recently? Of course, we're getting into the flat season proper. We're not far away from the Guineas. This is that time of year where we have a slow start to the year, but then everything sort of comes thick and fast now. Guineas is creeping up on us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Guineas meeting is going to be fantastic. Another race that I think is really shaping up nicely is the Lock-In Stakes. Mm. Really, a couple of really potentially top-class milers coming up. The likes of Limato, Time Test, Solo could be in there. Roger Varian has said that he's going to run Ballardo in that race. So that the Lock-In is really shaping up nicely, as well as the Guineas meeting, obviously. If I was to put up a horse to follow that I really, really liked, it would be Harzand, who won for Dermot Weld. Mm. The other day he won at Leopardstown. I think Harzand is going to be a superstar. I really do. I mean, he won the Ballysacks Stakes, a Group 3 race, over a mile and two, but it looks to me as if he wants every inch of a mile and four plus. Maybe he could even develop into an Ascot Gold Cup horse in due course. But Idaho, who Aidan O'Brien's horse Idaho, quickened a furlong and a half out.
Yeah.
And it looked like a race ending move. It was a smart quicken, you know. He really lengthened nicely, Idaho, and Harzand looked like he had lots to do. But when Pat Smullen asked him to really find his gears, he did, and he found loads of pressure, and he actually won it quite comfortably in the end. I was really impressed with Harzand, so he'd be one that I'd put up for punters to follow for the season to come.
Generally, the Ballysacks trial is very often a Derby trial. 16-20 is for the Derby. You think he wants it a little bit further?
Well, look, I think he'll go for the Irish Derby, probably because he's more likely to get cut in the ground. I think he's going to need a good ease in the ground. If he comes to Epsom, brilliant. He'll probably go there with a good chance. But on spring ground, on a fast surface, on summer ground, he might just come up a bit short. But I do genuinely feel with a good cut in the ground, he's going to be a very difficult horse to beat over middle distances.
Okay. Anyone on your mind in particular for the Guineas? Obviously, with the 2000 version, very hard to look past Air Force Blue. Now 8-11, though, which looks an eye-wateringly short price. But I've had this conversation with a lot of other people. Is it almost a tip in itself that it's going to be Aidan O'Brien's sole runner when this is normally a race that he has a good few goes at?
You know, I just think he's going to win easily.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think any... I mean, Emotionless looked as though he was going to be a comparable two-year-old last year until he completely flopped last time of asking. A couple of people have said that his piece of work the other day at Newmarket wasn't fantastic.
Really?
So, you know, Stormy Atlantic was impressive in the Craven, but that was on soft ground. If it comes up fast, how's he going to act? And I just think Air Force Blue is better than him. So, you know, you're looking down the likes of Massat, Burrettino, looking for horses that are potentially better than Air Force Blue, and you're coming up short every horse you look at. So, yeah, he's a short price, but, you know, understandably so.
Yeah. Similar story with Minding in the 1000, or do you think she looks a little bit more gettable?
I like her too. Mm. I like her too, but I mean, with the fillies, you know, the likes of Illuminate, Ballydial, Lumiere, that a lot of them can improve. So that's what you're banking on, really. But I really liked Minding last year. I think I've got a 3-1 or 7-2 voucher sitting somewhere, not for a large amount of money, but for a few quid, and I'd like to see her win it.
Okay, yeah. Good stuff. Anything else on your mind then, Kev, before we move on to look at Wednesday's action?
No, I'm just looking forward to the weekend, really. Looking forward to the last day of the season, really. And it's just this time of year, I love the flat season. Mm. And there used to be a time where I used to prefer the jump season.
Yes.
But now I'm kind of seamlessly transitioning between the two. And it's given my, as a racing fan, I'm enjoying it more. You know, I'm enjoying the flat season, enjoying the jump season. So now I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into it all.
Good stuff. Let's take a look at some of Wednesday's action then. We've got two from Epsom, one from Perth, and one on the all-weather from Lingfield to come on today's edition of the podcast. We start with the 2:30 at Epsom. Though this is a Derby trial, a conditions race over a mile and a quarter. 9 runners down for this Class 2, and I would imagine that the Ballydoyle representative, Claudio Monteverdi, will be taking a big chunk out of the market. But looks a decent race, is a good pot on offer, and there'll be plenty of cuts in the ground as well.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at a few that are unexposed, I think it might pay to look at the unexposed ones really here, because there's quite a few in there with experience who are trading at bigger prices. But Top Beak, trained by Huey Morrison, was a surprise winner at Windsor at the back end of last season. Went off at 25-1 in that race, but won it quite comfortably, and that the form has been advertised really well since, with the second horse, Mountain Bell, trained by Ralph Beckett. Looks like it's going to go, maybe turn into an Oaks filly. So that form has been advertised really well. So Me Dare is a filly here in the race, trained by John Gosden. She's by the stable's old star, De Remy, out of Dubawi. So she's obviously a seriously well-bred filly. She too won a maiden at Windsor at the back end of last season, but the form of that doesn't really amount to much, so she needs to take a big step forward. But she gets £5 from the colts here and could be dangerous. But I just feel that it's going to go to Claudio Monteverdi, another winner for the O'Brien stable. They're churning out winners like there's no tomorrow recently, you know, at Dundalk yesterday, and another three winners. So yeah, the stable is going really, really well. And this horse has a good fitness edge over the field, posted a good speed figure at Leopardstown 14 days ago, easily landed a 1 mile maiden there. The step up and trip is sure to suit. He'll handle the ground. He's another really, really well-bred horse, a full brother to Lush Lashes. It was a Group 1 winning filly. So, yeah, I think Claudio Monteverdi is going to take all the beat, and he'll probably prove the class act in the field.
OK, Claudio Monteverdi then for Kev, for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. We stay at Epsom for race number 2 on today's podcast. This is the 3:40 mile and a quarter handicap here, with 11 runners down to contest it. And again, a fairly competitive look to this race, Kev.
It is. I mean, I think the interesting horse in the race is Clayton. I'm not going to tip him, but I think he's the interesting horse in the race. He finished runner-up in 2013, runner-up in 2014 for Kevin Ryan. He's since gone to the Gary Moore stable, and he's done all right over hurdles this season. He's won a couple over hurdles. He's been running well. And Ryan Moore is booked to ride here, back at a course we know he likes. So he could be quite difficult to beat, but I've always been a fan of What About Carlo. He's a nice big scopey horse, the type of horse I like to latch onto. He's a very smart handicapper on his day. He goes well fresh. He likes Epsom. He's won two around here from four starts. He's on a fair mark. He's not overly well handicapped for a mark of 100, but if he does turn up well fit, I think he'll probably be the one to beat.
Okay, What About Carlo then getting the pick in the 3:40. We go to Perth now for a bit of jumping action. This is their 3:50. A handicap chase for us to look at here. 2 mile and 7 furlong is the trip for these nine runners. It's a class 3 event. No Nichols or Mullins runner in the lineup, Kev, so a chance for everybody else.
Indeed. Yeah, there's a few in this that it's a quite a tight-knit race. I mean, I like Jenny Surprise. She comes here on a hat-trick and is respected. Silver Tassie always runs his race too and should go well again. But a stable that have been going well all season, Sam, Tom George. Mm. He trained 10 winners during March. He's had 4 winners so far in April, including, of course, God's Own at Aintree. So the stable continues to churn out winners. And I quite like his No Duffer, who ran well 2 runs back at Warwick, turned the corner there, posted a good speed figure, followed that up at a Haydock on good ground, which he really likes, last time out when he won. He's gone up £7 for that, which is more than fair. And I think he'll run a big race again. You know, he jumps well, he stays well. And with Paddy Brennan doing the steering, you know, he ticks all the boxes for me, No Duffer.
No Duffer then for Kev, Tom George and Paddy Brennan teaming up on that one. We go to Lingfield then for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 6:45. Over the Poly track. 1 mile and a yard is the trip for this handicap. We've got 9 runners down to contest it. What are you liking this one?
Yeah, another tricky little race, but I mean, I'm glued to the Richard Fahey stable at the moment. 12 winners already in April, and it seems like he has plenty of well-handicapped horses in the stable, and In to Win makes his all-weather debut at Lingfield. Won a couple of decent races early on in the season and lost his way a bit, but he's well treated off a mark of 83 if he can bounce back to form, considering how the form that he was in last season at this time of year. The yard is in excellent form, and I think he could take a bit of beating if he handles the surface. It's a tricky race. I think Grey Mirage could be the dark horse in the race, is tumbling down the weights. It's a tricky race, but I'm happy to keep on side of the Fahey stable at the moment, so it's In to Win for me.
Yeah, In to Win then for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan, getting the choice of Kev in the 6:45 at Lingfield. Just give us a quick recap then, please, and spin through your selections one more time for Wednesday's racing.
Yeah, the two races at Epsom, the 2:30, the Derby trial. I think Claudio Monteverdi could just prove the class act for Aidan O'Brien stable. In the 3:40, a horse I've always liked, Eve Johnson Houghton's What About Carlo. He's a smart handicapper. He goes well fresh and he should go well again. The 350 at Perth. Tom George's stable has been ticking over nicely with some good winners this spring, and I quite like the look of No Duffer to follow up his Haydock win last time out. And in the 6:45 at Lingfield, I'm hoping that Richard Fahey can continue his vein of good form with Into Win, making his all-weather debut.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley ahead of the action on Wednesday. Remember to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Andrew Mount in the studio, guiding you through the action at Catterick, Epsom, Perth, Lingfield, Taunton and indeed Fairy House. Thanks for that, Kevin. Best of luck.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.